from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
San Leandro Mo, what's happening? What is happening? And by the way, you know, we got Turtle Pie, got Big Pun, you got San Leandro Mo, you got Adam. If you want to send us a rejoin, you just like, hey, I'm so-and-so Zucci Man. I'm Zucci Man for the Bay, whatever the hell you're from. Go ahead and send us a voice memo. That's what people do on IG. It's just those voice memos.
How would I... what's your IG handle?
At Bonte Hill.
And then mine is...
What is it? Butcher Boy
415.
Yep.
DM us. And if while you're at it, you can ask us anything. Because we're going to do some mailbags coming up.
I mean, while they're at it, they might as well do one for the pregame show, Joe Spadoni.
Yeah, do one for Spadoni, too. Pregame show for Spadoni.
I got Tim Roy and then just Steve Stone.
Yeah, no, give me some Spadoni. Hey, you listen to the pregame show with Joe Spadoni. Spadone.
Do the emphasis. Do it in the best Italian, fake Italian accent. I don't care. Do it. I won't get offended.
You're listening to the pregame show with Joe Spadone.
What is that, dog?
That's tough.
We'll do it again, though, without the talking.
Are we doing like New Jersey, New York, or are we doing Italy? What are we doing here?
Yeah, we're doing Joe Spadone. You're listening to the pregame show with Joe Spadone right here on 95.7 The Game.
That will be used on Monday.
I mean, Spadone. Like, what is he doing? What's this guy doing?
I will use that. I do.
Hey.
I lean into the weird. At 5 a.m., you kind of got to be weird.
Got to be weird. Got to be weird, period.
Yes.
In sports radio. I mean, 7 o'clock in the morning. What do you want? Hard hitting X's and O's? Joe Spadone. You're listening to the pregame show with Joe Spadone for 5 to 6 every day. Joe Spadone right here on 95.7 The Game, huh?
Oh, you sound like the guy at like Signori's at like 1:45 in the morning. Pepperoni!
You got some Euro trip? You're Fred Armisen in the Euro trip. Me scusi.
You guys are just.
I miss Italy, man.
I need to get a Furio in my life.
Dude, you got to go to Italy, man. The pizza out there. You could eat so much in Italy and not gain a pound.
Bonte, I've eaten all the pizza here in San Francisco. There's excellent pizza places everywhere.
It's different. There's different stuff. There's different, yes.
It's different in Italy.
No, of course it is. I'm just saying there's like 50 million amazing pizza places here.
Yeah, there's great pizza places. And then, you know what? There's Italy pizza.
All right, well, like
Italia pizza.
Like Giolina's, Delfina, Little Joe's. There's a variety of Tony's.
Man, you go on the Amalfi Coast and eat some pizza, man. You're going to be like, damn. Damn.
It does help when you have that sight line. Like, everything tastes better when you're somewhere. Like, yes.
Of course. To that
point. It tastes really good.
It does.
And you don't gain any weight.
Oh, when in Rome. The seafood, Monte. Oh, the clams, the mussels.
And you don't gain any weight. The lobster tails, the crab. You don't. I didn't gain a pound on my European extravaganza. It was unbelievable. I was like, damn, I could eat this stuff all day. I was eating like a pig. You know, yeah, I'm just well-rounded. Look, 5-0. The accident was horrible. Looks like we found something Bonte isn't good at. I'm not good at a lot of things, trust me.
That's the one thing you're not good at.
Yeah, I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm not good at a lot of things. 5-0, I'm not good at a lot of things.
You're a horrible Italian.
Horrible Italian, horrible European. Spaniard.
Now I want you to now do like a mob boss from the movies Italian.
Let me tell you. You need to listen to the pregame show right now with Joe Spadoni. 5 to 6 a.m. 95.7 a game.
I don't know if I'm going to play that.
I don't know what that was.
That scared me. I mean, that was Liam Neeson and Taken.
What's that particular set of skills?
I don't know who you are or what you want. I don't take your skills. If you don't listen to the pregame show, I will find you.
Christian Bale pretending to be a mob boss while also pretending to be Batman?
My stomach hurts. I worked out, man. My boy Terrell's been working me out. Dude's got me doing medicine balls and stuff. So whenever I laugh,
you know, I'm
my
proud
abs
of you.
Hurt.
You know?
But
you
I work out all the
thinking
time.
Thinking about going to the gym to actually doing
it. I kind of joke. I hit the gym. I just don't talk about it. You know, people posting pictures and videos about being it. I had to stop doing that stuff. It's like, dude, it needs to be a habit. It needs to be part of their routine.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's what we do. What we do.
I don't think I've ever posted a quote-unquote gym selfie or anything like that. Yeah, it's just not DNA.
It's not.
Find it odd to pull the phone out while everyone else is working out. That, to me, is like a no-go. That's my personal opinion.
There's certain times where if you're like working out and you don't know if you're doing a certain thing correctly and you have to videotape yourself doing this, like that's okay.
Yeah, that
but like anything where it's just like I'm doing squats in my short shorts and I want to like stick my booty out, like come on.
Like Joey Swole, who I follow on all the things, like he's kind of like I call it the gym director. Like he does the do's and don'ts of what you should do when you're working out and stuff. And I find him to be very reasonable where he's like these people that are posting these gym selfies, men and women, it's just out of control.
Yellow Jacket on YouTube. Kate's big time now. That definitely felt like the famous kid that's visiting home for Thanksgiving.
You gonna come to the local dive with us?
No. I'm trying to catch up with her in Philadelphia. She's probably calling the Seahawks game though. I got some reads here I gotta catch up on. Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Shout out to them. Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're gonna call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. And you can have breakfast with the roast. We'll have more details on Monday because we're giving you a chance to come have breakfast with us September the 6th. To kick off the football season with us. Listen all week. Listen all next week between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. And we'll have 10 spots we're giving away. Each spot comes with a plus one that you can bring. So we'll get ready for football season.
Bonte, you know, I you love the history of just sports in general. And when I look at, like, the Oakland A's and Oakland, the Oakland A's, you know, when we were growing up, Eck, Canseco, McGuire, you know, they even had, you know, Carney Lansford, who a lot of people knew his kids. They played at St. Francis and whatnot.
Mike Gallego.
Ricky. Yeah, Steinbach. Like, there's so many good. Walt Weiss. I mean, we could name Bob Welch. We could name that whole team. Dave Stewart. And then, like, I think about the 70s, and I watched that entire Big Red Machine doc, and then I went down the rabbit hole of those mid-70s, those A's, you know, and Catfish Hunter, Raleigh Fingers, you know, obviously a young Vida.
Young Reggie.
Reggie Jackson, you know. It's just this. So many amazing players that came and went through the Oakland A's. It's kind of surreal that they have never really planted their flag in the ground and been able to honor those people with the appropriate statues, like all the other teams throughout baseball that have like a real stadium where they've planted their roots and they're going to honor their legends and their greats. And like I think of someone like Ricky Henderson, and I feel like in part, because he played on a lot of teams, but in part why he doesn't get the just due is because the Oakland A's as an organization have never really put him at the forefront. Like, he's one of the greatest players ever, and he's ours, and he's Oakland owned. And he played for us a variety of times, and he's the greatest leadoff hitter of all time, and he's the greatest base stealer of all time, without a doubt, and he should be on your starting nine. Like that, you. I feel like we forget how great that guy was because he doesn't have that statue, and that organization such a joke league wide.
I don't know if the statue has anything to do with it. I just think the organization does a good job of leaning into their history and having it around the stadium. Like the one thing about the Giant Stadium, or if you go to Levi's, or if you go to any other, you know, you go to all these different stadiums, and they have the Chase Center is perfect for this. When you're walking around Chase Center, you see Wilt, you see Nate Thurman, you see Rick Barry. You see Chris Mullin. You see all the history of the organization within that building. The one thing about the Coliseum is, look, a statue would be great. You're right. Statues would be awesome. But when you walk into that stadium, there's not the history. You know, I want to see photos of the young Ricky Henderson. I want to see photos of Mark McGwire, who, by the way, hit over 300 home runs with the Oakland A's. We forget Mark McGwire's a rookie, hit 49 home runs. Rookie of the year, first baseman. I mean, Mark McGwire, he gets lost on. Well, let's pick this up on the other side because we got a break here. But I want to pick this up because they have done a terrible, terrible job of leaning into their history.
Yeah, championing their own.
So let's do that on the other side. Now, to be brought to you by Safeway.
Jeremiah from Fremont, also known as the Legend Jerry, and you're listening to the Morning Rose with Vonte Hill and Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, two Bay Area homegrown legends themselves, everybody. And I want you guys, everybody, to stay with me now. The best part of waking up is the Morning Rose in your cup.
Oh, give it to me.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, what's happening? Have breakfast with the roast. This Monday, we're giving you a chance to come in and have breakfast with the roast on Friday, September 6th, to kick off the football season with us. Listen all week long between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. And we have 10 spots we're giving away. Each spot comes with a plus one that you can bring. We got Will Clark coming up at 8 o'clock. Will the Thrill Clark to talk about the Babe Ruth series, talk about his time with the Giants, the current Giants as well. What does he think about the team? But then Brody Brazil, who has been Mr. A for a long, long time, is going to join us at 9:20 on the Morning Rush. I love Brody over there at NBC Sports California. Actually, very underrated Warriors knowledge. We're going back and forth one day in the newsroom, just naming obscure Warriors. And I was like, damn, Brody, you picked the wrong team. Slow down over there, man. Don't take my job. Brody knows, he knows about his doves, man. He knows about the sports here in the Bay Area. So we'll do that on the River Islands guest line. We'll talk about the history of Oakland and, you know, the part with the statues or whatnot, not doing a good job of embracing their history. One thing about the new Yankee Stadium, and I'm going back there next week when I go on vacation, it's going to be the Rockies in town taking on the Yankees. So I better get a Judge or Soto home run in that game on a Sunday morning. Or hell, they might not even play. Who knows? But they do a great job. That new Yankee Stadium, the first thing I noticed, Shasky, wow, there's Babe Ruth in an Italian restaurant eating pasta. Wow, there's Mickey Mantle. There's Joe DiMaggio. There's Yogi Berra. They do a good job of just highlighting their legends all around the yard. See that with the Giants. You don't see that with the Oakland A's.
Well, like, I look at a team like San Diego, who doesn't have the 200-year history that maybe the Yankees or the A's right. or Giants have. And when you go to their stadium, boom, right smack dab in the beginning, and right when you walk in, Mr. Padre.
Yep.
You know, this huge statue to Tony Gwynn. And I think about it this way, like, when you are sharing a venue that you've been trying to move out of for a long, long time with another team, and you're going back and forth, and you don't own the venue, it's like equivalent to, you're like a renter that's constantly moving. You're not going to put up a bunch of pictures of your family all throughout your apartment because you've moved so many times. Like, you might put a couple pictures up, you know what I mean? But when you get a home for your family and you've been there a long time and people come into your house, you've got, you know, family portraits or things that are important to you all throughout your home. And when people walk in, they get that feeling of, like, you know, who you are as a family and what you want them to represent. And I just feel like the A's, because of their vagabond status and the fact that they've had one foot out the door for such a long time, they can name the field whatever they want. When was it named Ricky Henderson Field? 10 years ago? 5, 10 years ago?
Something like that.
Give or take. Like, but that doesn't, it doesn't hit the same way, you know, as when you walk into, like you said, Yankee Stadium, and they've obviously got their own Monument Park and all these different things.
Park,
and you
dude,
go into
sick.
When you go into Pac Bell, like coming in, even if you don't come in the main entrance in the Willie Mays Plaza, if you come in on the side, on the wall is painted all of the NL West championships and all the pennants and things like that. And they've just got history of their team and pictures and stuff all spread throughout. And I think about their stadium situation. Not only has it been just a financial, you know, cluster, right? Because it's obviously their reason on why they can't reinvest into their own team. It's also really like downgraded the history of their team, and they haven't been able to embrace those things. And it's just, it's all of these things in totality are why they are so low in the sports lexicon amongst all the other teams out there. They have a history. They don't have a place where they can display it. And I don't feel like they're proud of their own history. Right. And they're not championing their own history within the community. Yeah. You could say rooted in Oakland all you want, but you also have to like practice what you preach.
No,
just because you have a tagline doesn't mean you're doing it.
Well, that's on Dave Cavill, who I'm not even going to get into today. I'm not going to waste oxygen on him. I want to make this about A's fans. 888-957-9570. Yeah, we don't talk about you much. Those are facts. We tried to talk about you for a long, long time, and we wanted that relationship to work. Trust me. Wanted the A's and 95.7 game relationship to work. We talked a lot of A's back then. Hell, when we got preempted with the Afternoon Delight, what'd I do on my day off? Dude, you got tickets for a day game? Because I love pro sports. And that was the beautiful thing about having the Raiders here, is that every week, for the most part, you had a professional sporting event going on, whether it was the Raiders or the Niners. And that was beautiful. And I love that about the Bay. And now we're not going to have that. We don't have that with football anymore. And now we're not going to have that with baseball as they move up to Sacramento. So I want to hear from A's fans on what this last Bay Bridge series means to you, because you can look at the players of when San Francisco moved to the, or when the Giants moved to San Francisco, and the A's obviously moving over from Kansas City. Who's had the richer history? You know, the A's for a long time boasted a lot of championships, and they had the team, they had the players.
They had the number one home attendance in the 70s in all of baseball.
Look at 19.
That's crazy.
Look at the 80s. Look at the 80s against the Giants. Look at the 90s against the Giants.
It's obvious.
It wasn't even close.
Even in the early 2000s, if you just look at the teams that they fielded, I mean, the Big Three is one of the more iconic pitching staffs outside of the Braves since what? Right? Like Hudson, Mulder, and Zito were outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And I think of Chavez and Tejada, Giambi on that infield. I mean, they were a spectacular squad.
The crazy part, too, is just when you think about the marketing. Those big three teams with Mulder, Zito, Hudson, and, of course, Chavez and Tejada and Giambi, and they were going to the playoffs, and their marketing campaigns were awesome. Their commercials were great and creative. Chicks dig the long ball. They had awesome, awesome commercials. And the Giants were behind them in that aspect.
Absolutely.
In terms of entertainment and just presenting your product. I was taking BART a lot during those days. And everywhere at BART, there was A signage everywhere. Bob Wall Park, Glen Park, you know, Mission Street, Mission the 16th, Mission the 24th. Everywhere you went, A signage everywhere. They were leapfrogging the Giants in terms of that. Where the Giants had Barry Bonds, and obviously that would sell a lot, but the Giants were behind in that aspect with the A's. They were very innovative on how you could get people to come. Remember the root beer float day on Wednesdays? You get, what was it, a dollar root beer float day games. I would just go on BART, but I lived in Berkeley, just go to an A's game and sit by myself in the outfield, watch some pro baseball. So they've done a poor job. There's no, I don't want to beat dead horse here. The owner sucks, John Fisher.
It's
Dave Cavill sucks, his right-hand man. They've done a terrible job. He won't come out, really, unless the interview is doctored up and he dictates what questions being asked.
Yeah, he's a weasel.
So I don't really, it's about the A's fan. Have you been able to enjoy the season? Because they got some good young talent right now.
I know.
Great young talent.
You were talking about the commercials. The couple that stick out to me from the early 2000s, Eric Chavez had just won the Gold Glove. And he had a gold glove, and it was almost like a statue. And he went down to field grounders and went ding, ding, ding off the glove. The other one that I think about is, I forget which of the big three it was. I don't know if it was Hudson, Mulder, or Zito, but they would bend over to grab the rosin bag, and all the girls would, oh, it would make a bunch of noises. I mean, it might not fly in today's day and age, but it was, these were like really tongue-in-cheek, good, fun commercials that made you smile, you know, and we just, we don't have any of that. And it really honestly feels like that Rob Manfred and all of Major League Baseball, I just don't understand what they're allowing to have happen here. And I know that people can say that, well, you know, it's about the totality of the entire league and they're not going to tell one owner exactly what to do. I mean, it's just a bad look for everyone involved. You're going to be playing in a minor league stadium next year, blistering heat. If they're going to be on turf, I mean, go to Twin Creeks and play in 90-degree heat, and your kids are all going to want to have a heat stroke because it gets really hot. Now playing 110 in Sacramento, like in your the professional level, you're asking a lot. And then just to see how little they've reinvested into their own team, to me, it's like, I know that Ballmer got his organization seized for him for very, very different reasons. But, like, where are the other owners raising their hands? Like, we're really going to have to fly in multiple times a year into this situation and play in these stadiums against this team. I have to continue to cut these guys' revenue checks. I have to share money with them. I have to continue to do this. They're giving us all a bad team. Now, the other side of that coin is, well, they know that they're not a true contender, and then that's just another team you can cross off. I'm a big believer in the, like, rising tide lifts all boats in the harbor, and I don't understand why other owners across the landscape aren't sitting here going, like, come on, man, you got to make this a little better here. No one's saying that, like you can't cry broke. We get you're broke, but you've also, like, You're accepting zero responsibility for all the things that you've done to make it worse on yourself.
Last Dive Bar, 1999 on YouTube. It all starts and stops with John Fisher at the end. John Fisher, FJF to infinity and beyond. The Last Dive Bar. I understand it. So I don't know where A's fans sit. I've been talking about this thing, it feels like, for 6 years now, 7 years now. And we kind of knew this day was happening. And now we're getting closer and closer. Today feels like the Raiders. Well, we knew they were going to Vegas, but then they played next year at the Coliseum. And then they played next year at the Coliseum. I was like, wait, what's going on here? You going to Vegas or not? Is it over or not? Is this the last Monday night game or not?
You went to that final Battle of the Bay. I did as well. It was a Thursday night game.
Thursday night football, Nick Mullins game.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert coming out party.
Raiders and Niners fans, like, they have a long history. Long history, and I've been to a lot of Raider Niner games, both at the Coliseum and at Candlestick, and that one at Levi Stadium, the final one, was just so sad. I remember walking through the entire parking lot, and it was like Niner fans felt so bad for Raider fans, and Raider fans were just so sad that their team was leaving.
But you know what? A lot of Raider fans have stuck with the Raiders. Even though they are in Las Vegas.
No, I'm not saying that they were just sad.
Yeah, no doubt.
They were just so sad. I remember how many, like, fans had their arm around fans of the other, like, it's okay, like, you know, and it was like a sense of sadness.
Well, it's funny, too, because the San Jose Earthquakes are owned by John Fisher, and that has been a dumpster fire. That has now been a dumpster fire. That was a proud soccer club. Proud. Two-time MLS champs, right? And then the stadium, PayPal Stadium, beautiful. AFC plays there. And now he's already asking for suites. The stadium, I don't even think it's 10 years old.
Does anyone think that the Oakland A's are just going to, like, figure it out in Vegas and go from Sacramento for a year and then go to Vegas?
Who knows if they're
going to
end up in Vegas?
What?
They may still end up in Portland. Who the hell knows where they're going to be at?
You know what? If they went to Montreal, Nashville.
I don't know where they're going
to
go.
Utah, Salt Lake City. I have no idea.
I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know what's going to happen with them. But you know the other aspect of this, too, looking at it from the Giants angle? They've been able or have been unable to take advantage of the situation.
That I agree with.
To reach the Bay Area fan, the baseball fan, to say, hey, why don't you come over here? We'll be the Bay's team. They failed to do that. So if the A's, and that's why it was like the A's had an opportunity to maybe, hey, you know what? Let's come back together. Let's come to the table. Let's figure this thing out, because they could have kept their fan base in the East Bay, because the Giants have done nothing to bring folks to the ball yard.
Well, Sam Lubman has been saying, like, for Giants fans that, like, because I know when the Niners were like, yeah, we have no problem with the Raiders leaving Northern California. We'll take a bigger piece of the market. You know, we'll have a larger slice of the pie. And they've been wildly successful during that time that the Raiders, you know, have been on their way out to leaving. Sam Lubman has hypothesized that, you know, with the A's leaving, there's really no pressure on the Giants to field a competitive team and win at all costs. It's like, hey, we got the whole market to ourselves. We're wildly profitable. You know, if we just field an appropriate team, we'll be able to churn a profit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's that deep, but like that's, Sam, am I putting it out there the way that...
No, that's exactly how I feel. I would not be shocked if the Giants just go forward and being like, well, you know, we played some competitive games in September. We got people showing up to the ballpark. Like, that's good enough. Like, when the A's are there, there's that pressure of, like, if you don't win, but the A's are winning, then it's like, well, come on, what are you guys doing? They got to figure it out. Why don't you have it figured out? Like, let's go. But that urgency will not be there if the A's are gone.
Very interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that, but... To that point, yes, they have failed. And there hasn't been urgency to get stars in here. Now, I know you're sending Bryce Eldridge videos, and we'll talk to Will Clark about him because he looks like the real deal.
Two yesterday.
He looks like the real deal. He's a single A, but he looks like the real deal. But it's hard for me to get up for prospects right now. I need to see major league talent.
Well, yes.
It's been dreadful over the last 3 years being a Giants fan. But A's fans, if you want to call 888-957-9570, it's your time to call. What does this mean to you, the last Bay Bridge series? I'm so numb to it, Shasky. I wish I could sit here and be like, oh my God, the last Bay Bridge series. What's your favorite memories of the Bay Bridge series? It's just sad. Like, they're going to broadcast this game on NBC Sports California and NBC Sports Bay Area. And we're going to be looking at views of the stadium and the seats. And the press box, and the field, and all, you can't avoid it. The sales shirts are going to be out there. They've boycotted over and over at the Coliseum. It's sad. Like, I can't get excited over it right now. It's sad. It's sad what happened to a professional sports team. And it happened right here in our market where we have Silicon Valley. We've got all this money here. Real estate, everything. We've got everything in the Bay Area. And its owner refused to invest in his old team, and he just let them rot from it inside out. It's sad.
What's his end game?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't know. To get a free handout, to do the bare minimum to run the product to just make sure that he breaks even on his dime. It's money for him. He don't care about the damn team.
The Howard Terminal project, the Coliseum project. It feels like everything is I have to get over completely, and you have to pay for everything. And I need a break on all the taxes. And you have to give me the land at a discount. And even then, I don't want to put a penny in. It's just like, come on, dude. Geez Louise.
You know, and I get the territorial rights with the Giants in San Jose. It would have been kind of cool to see the A's in San Jose. They could have really
blossomed out there. Big financial boom.
Oh my gosh, they would have been selling out 35,000 seat stadiums every night down in San Jose with that weather. Oh my gosh,
there's a lot of fans, money. The weather is significantly better. There's land to do it. There's a lot of more space.
Yeah, it's sad. It's just sad. You know, the Bay Bridge series, people want to get hyped up about it. I don't know. I don't know how people, Spinotti, Bay Bridge series, is this doing anything for you? How's it been watching the A's this season knowing they're leaving Oakland, California?
The team was so awful last year, and they've actually been relatively, they're going to hit their over in the win total probably here pretty soon, but they're 17 games, whatever they are, under 500. Tomorrow's probably going to be my last game ever at the Coliseum, but I'm also doing it because, you know, my best friend, we're having his bachelor party there tomorrow, starting there. So we're doing that, and then we're going to have a night out in the city. So I'll remember that. I'll remember the good times with some buddies and stuff like that, but it's not like the mystique of the series is not doing anything for me. In the past, it was fun because my dad's a Giants fan, so we would go together and stuff like that during Father's Day or that time. Sometimes the A's and Giants would play around that time. So, I don't know. The whole thing has gotten to the point where I've become numb. Just it is what it is kind of a thing. You'll be in Sacramento. I'm not going to go up there to play. I'll probably still follow along, but just on Twitter. I'm not going to be oh yeah, the A's. Yeah, I'm going to go on my way to talk about them. Just I'm not going to do that anymore, which sucks because I like to go out of my way to talk about teams that I like. I bring up Raiders conversations to you guys all the time, stuff like that. When's the last time I ever talked about the A's, really? Mason Miller yesterday.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I don't go out of my way to talk about them anymore, which sucks because I grew up loving that team.
I mean, this station had so many people that were so connected with the A's. Yep. You know, Rick and Towny and Roxy Papa Bernstein. Roxy Bernstein, you know. I know Brody at one point did shows over here. Kyle Madsen loves the A's. He used to be over here. Spadoni. Evan Giddings, who's on, is a big-time A's fan. I mean, it's just everybody here was a big A's fan. A lot of them. And it just sucks. And I just think about, baseball in the East Bay and how many great, I'm talking great players. Forget back in the day. I'm talking about just the last 25 years, Dontrell Willis, CeCe Sabathia, Jimmy Rollins. Just go down the list. It's a who's who of playoff performing studs. And to think that a lot of those guys aren't going to have their hometown team anymore. I mean, you know how much I love baseball. I wonder what the effect is and that it's going to have just on the community and everybody in general.
Just being a baseball geek, flipping over the channel and watching American League Baseball. When Giants go to commercial, going to the A's game, we're just having a laptop and the television, watching the A's. And I remember, didn't they have a 21-inning game against the Angels? When was that, Spadone? They had this epic 20. We stayed up all night. I remember Twitter all night.
Jamile Weeks had the game-winning run.
Jamile Weeks.
Miami's legend.
Jamile Weeks.
Was he Ricky Weeks' brother from Milwaukee?
Ricky Weeks is, I think Ricky Weeks, too, is coaching with Milwaukee now.
Oh.
The Brewers. Yeah, I saw his name pop up a couple
good.
Weeks
Him
ago.
And Braun were sick together.
Yeah, they were sick together. But
That's what his nickname was.
Another Hurricanes legend.
The Tainted Substance.
He was another Hurricane legend, wasn't he?
Yep. I remember when I would go to baseball games in Miami, people love telling stories about Ryan Braun routinely put balls in the parking garage that was on the other side of the right field fence, a good 350 feet away or something like
Lying
that.
Lying about the urine sample?
Hey, I was just going to say.
And Aaron Rodgers having his back, and then lying about it.
Ryan Braun was sick, though. That him, Prince Fielder, Ricky Weeks, that team was nice.
Funny thing about that Biogenesis clinic that, you know, A-Rod and whatnot got mixed up with, right across the street from the Miami baseball field.
Yeah, that's funny. That's
hilarious. Was it Gomes? Who was the center fielder?
Johnny Gomes?
It was Chris Gomes or something. Johnny Gomes, different. Gomes. He was more corner outfielder, DH. This guy was Chris Gomes or something like that. Center field.
There's Yan Gomes, but that's the catcher.
Whatever happened to Jarrell Cotton with the Oakland A's? It's random, I know, because I remember Jarrell Cotton had a great start to see. He was dealing, right? And Sunday Afternoon Delight. I was like, Papa, this guy reminds me of Pedro. He goes, you know what? I thought about that.
Jarrell, the most recent MLB team, by the way, Bonte, was the Giants in 2022.
Are you serious?
Yep. Jarrell Cotton was a Giant in 2022.
Jarrell Cotton. He had his start. I remember Papa texted a group thread, I can't find the A's game. Where are they at? Cotton's pitching in Kansas City. We're hyped, dude.
I mean, at one point, it was A.J. Puck, Lizardo.
Yep.
Who were the other ones? Daniel Murphy, I remember at one point. All the young players that were going to be something.
Yeah, well, there's just, I mean, you can go to Sean Doolittle. You can go to Josh Donaldson. You can go to Matt Olson, who's not there. Matt Chapman, not there. Coco Crisp was the old guy for a while. We love Coco Crisp. You can just go. I feel like I'm Joe Horn right now. There's so many of you. I can't even give you an exact name.
Who was the shortstop you got from the Cubs when you traded, or that you traded to the Cubs?
Addison Russell. Now playing, I think, overseas.
Adam Rosales.
Crosby.
Let's go to.
There's been so many great players.
Bobby Crosby was sick, and I remember Harold Reynolds. I'll never forget because I think he won Rookie of the Year. And the next year, they were making, like, Baseball Tonight, we're making, like, their MVP predictions. And Harold Reynolds was like, my MVP is going to be Bobby Crosby. This guy's unbelievable.
I thought he was going to be sick, too.
And I was like, damn. He was good.
It was him. Who was the right fielder before him? Not Van Poppel. Israelhausen. Who was the...
I was like seven, so this is probably your guys'.
Ariel Prieto. Remember him?
Hell yeah. No, but who was that right fielder that was supposed to be good for the A's? Oh, that's going to kill me.
Mondo in San Lorenzo.
What's up, Mondo?
What's happening?
Derek Barton.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Mondo?
Yeah, I heard you guys talk about that, you know, that crazy long game. I'm not sure if it was the Angels, but I remember it was a Monday. I think it was 19 innings or something like that.
A long game, right? Yeah.
It was a Monday, and I had to work at like 6 a.m. the next day, but, you know, you don't get to see 19 inning games very often. And I think, who was it, Jerry Blevins? I think he had to actually come back because they were out of position players because the bullpen was just packed for that whole game. But, I've been a fan since I was about 5 years old. My dad has season tickets. He takes the games all the time. Grew up in the 2000s with Moneyball. I think during game 18, they had a smoked ball, a foul ball over to our seats and almost hit me. And they had my dad, like, you know, set me down so I could hit. But, you know, it's just been really sad to seeing the team degrade from, you know, the height of what it was, like, you know, 70s, 80s, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's, you know, I recently moved and I'm having this, you know, I just want to sell all my A stuff because, like, this has no sentimental value to me anymore. And I think one of the worst parts for me is that when Cal came in, they had all the promotions, they had a bunch of new programs they were trying to launch and really trying to get the fans into the stadium. I think it was that Treehouse Pass, whatever it was. Like, that was exciting, but like you guys said, he's a weasel, and it's really sad to see the team go from the height of what it was, you know, during my formative years into what it is now, the shell of form itself. Like, my friends, you know, are like, oh, you still follow the A's? Because I said we're A's hat. I still represent the team. But, you know, seeing where it is, it's really upsetting.
What are you going to do?
My dad out for,
what are you going to do when they go to SAC?
I don't know. It is what it is. I think your producer said just, you know, follow him on social media every now and then. But I'm actually bringing my dad up for one last game. Nice. I don't know. Like, hear you guys talk about it right now. Like, it's hard. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
Enjoy it with your dad. Enjoy it.
Let's go to Brian from the last dive bar. Brian, what's happening? You're on a roast.
Man, what is going on? You guys are absolutely cooking. The coffee is scorching hot this morning. I had to call in. I was inspired by you guys just dragging John Fisher. This is great.
Yeah, it gets tiresome, though. You know, what else can we say about him? It's just like talking Farhan Zaidi. What else do you want us to say about Farhan Zaidi? It is what it is. It becomes stale.
I mean, B, I'm looking at it right here. Real quick before you go in here. Canseco McGuire Weiss, three consecutive rookies of the years in the late 80s. And then they go, Ben Grieve was the guy I was talking about. And then you get Crosby, Houston Street, Andrew Bailey, all in like a 4 or 5 year period. I mean, just the amount of talent they've had is unreal. It's the ownership.
Their farm system has been so far better than the Giants' farm system.
It's unreal.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Shasky, you really hit it on the head at the start. This has been systematic, right? I've never seen an organization systematically just dismantle the history the rich history of a franchise. I mean, the only team outside the Yankees to win three World Series. You got going to another three, you know, World Series in the 80s. You had the money ball. You never capitalized on anything, and this has been completely systematic. And in the final year of the Coliseum, the final year, you've done absolutely nothing as an organization to acknowledge that, lean into that. I mean, at least when the Raiders left, there was somewhat of a farewell tour, and they gave that bit of decency to the fan base. But the A's, no. They've known that they were going to Vegas all the way in 2021 is when they were first starting to announce it, and the rumblings were going on. And so they knew this day was coming. They've done absolutely nothing to acknowledge the fans, to acknowledge the employees. I mean, even the employees, Vince Catronio, who's been with the A's for 18 years, had to go through the Chronicle to announce that he was leaving. And most employees that are still there that have been there for 20, 30 years don't even know the fate, right? And aren't even getting communicated to by the organization, and they're just getting letters. We've had employees that have told us that they've been told that if they want a celebration for them leaving, they have to hold it themselves. It's spiteful, it's intentional, and I've never seen something on the level this big. And so, like, our mission has been just exposing Fisher and the antics of what they're doing on a level that has never been seen before. And now you can't talk about the A's without talking about how bad Fisher has been for baseball, for the A's, for the franchise, the history. I mean, the guy's completely pooped on it, like you said, like nobody else. I mean, I've never seen diarrhea on a fan base and an organization like this guy has had.
I mean,
well said, Brian. What do you do now, though? Where's baseball's role in this? Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. What have the other owners? What have they done about this? Because it seems like they've kind of just stepped back, and maybe the Giants enjoy this. What's their role in allowing this to happen to one of their big league teams?
Let's think about this from this angle. When the NFL wanted to move, when the owner wanted to move out of St. Louis to L.A., it was Stan Kroenke. And the NFL was like, yeah, we don't love moving out of St. Louis, but we have to get a team back in L.A. And when they did that, they were like, all right, it's Kroenke. He's got the money. And they built a mega conglomerate empire, not just for the stadium, but for the NFL network, right? And then they were like, what are we going to do with the Oakland Raiders? And what are we going to do with the Chargers? All right, the Chargers are going to, you know, be co-tenants. That's kind of been a disaster, a low-key disaster for the Chargers because they're non-existent in terms of fan base in that area.
The Chargers should have been a team going to Las Vegas. I just did not get that. Let them go to Las Vegas. Las Vegas would have embraced them.
Let
the Raiders go to, but I know the Rams.
The Rams
didn't want the Raiders infiltrating, and the Raiders own that market. It's the Cowboys and Raiders. We're in an Uber at the NFC Championship game, and he was like, the Rams are like fifth when it comes to popularity.
So now
when it comes
to the NFL Chargers teams. Are.
Right, but like, no, the Chargers 11th? Are like 20th.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give Mark Davis this. I don't think he's a great businessman, but I do think that Jerry Jones and the NFL in particular desperately wanted a team in Vegas. It just so happened that Mark was the perfect vehicle to get them there, and it's been a cash cow for them. For the league, for the team, for everyone, and they built a beautiful facility that they've already utilized, whatever. To your point about Rob Manfred, I don't know what the end game is. I don't know where the Jerry Jones type to kind of like help this dude out to get these things past the, you know, the finish line. I don't know. I guarantee you the rest of baseball, like the Yankees, they're not like, yeah, we want to fly into Sacramento and play in a minor league stadium.
Right.
Now, if Sacramento had a legitimate stadium, I'm sure teams wouldn't think twice about it. But I'm not, because I don't want to like knock Sacramento as not being a major league town. I think it is a major league town. They got NBA. The NBA players like going to Sacramento. But like, you think the Yankees want to play at Sutter Health Field? You think the Los Angeles Dodgers, they want to cart their team up worth billions of dollars to go play at Sutter Health Field? No. So,
but who's the guy that's going to step up and help out the A's and say, enough's enough. We got to figure this out. We have to figure this out. It's like, it just seems like baseball owners are so different than football owners. Like, they don't, I'm not going to say they don't care, but they'll allow a product like this. This team is last year, the Oakland Athletics were unwatchable. They're an absolute disaster. They were on pace to give up the most runs in baseball history at one point. I mean, and you can't allow that. Like, the NFL would step in on a team. Like, the NBA, they took control of the Hornets. They realized that situation is a dumpster fire. Let's take over the team for a couple years. They did the shady business by videoing the Chris Paul deal. We get all that. But they at least took over and said, we got to fix this situation. The NFL will never allow a team like that to just sink and crumble. Not today's day and age. Not today's day and age.
No, but also the way that they share the money in the NFL is just so different.
It is different.
Baseball.
I know, I get it. But
you're right.
I'm saying like somebody.
To be fair, they did allow Dan Snyder to essentially depreciate a ridiculously profitable organization in the Washington football team to as low as it could be. Right. I mean, but then you had Bezos and a million other buyers that were ready to take it. It took forever to get Dan Snyder out.
It took forever to get him out because a lot of owners vouched for Snyder for some reason. It was very weird.
You're right.
It was very weird.
For John Fisher?
But that's what I'm saying. Who's going to vouch for him?
Well, his buddy, Rob Manfred.
Yeah, there you go.
He was buddies with Selig, and Manfred's always been in Selig's, Selig's right-hand man. And
that's sad.
You know, like, this is where I was listening to just a baseball podcast, Brett Boone's one, and I was listening to different points of view, and they said the next commissioner of baseball should not be someone who's been in the Major League Baseball front offices, meaning the league offices for the last years. They need a TV exec. They need somebody who sees the big picture. It's like, what? We're not taking our Broadway play to a minor league facility. No, we're not doing that. Like, no, we need to like step the game up here. We need to figure out that we've got a ton of inventory, probably too much inventory, and we need to kind of taper it down. And the changes that they made were television based. The pitch clock, not being able to switch out pitchers after three batters or whatever
not
until three
out
batters. All of that is for television. But there's also an optics thing and business thing where they need to bring someone in. Like, we can't allow one of our teams, especially a crown jewel of the history of the game, to be depreciated this bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, really bad. And it's not only bad, it's just sad. They've become an afterthought. Like, there's no... Like, here, I'll take people behind the scenes just with this show. You know, we're an A station, and I remember the segue over to talking more San Francisco sports, base sports, and moving off the Oakland teams or whatnot. But now, over the last, like, 3 years... It hasn't become it's not even part of our thought process to talk Oakland A's baseball. It's like they don't even exist. They're totally, and I worked out there at NBC, so I see all the A's guys, the Shooty Babbitts and the Bip Roberts and Dave Stewarts. It's just sad. It's nothing they could do about it.
Yeah.
But they try to bring positivity to the broadcast and talk A's baseball. They still feel enthusiastic about it. 360, I'm still hoping Joe Lacob wanted to buy the A's. Lacob wanted to buy the A's. He definitely wanted to buy the A's. He was ready. The A's knew Fisher wasn't going to sell because he's sitting on a gold mine. He knows, boy, if I do get this team in the right spot and I do get a stadium and we start making a profit, I could sell this team for double the price. He's stinking money.
It's
incredible.
I know you're right.
You know, so he doesn't care about the wins. Everybody's talking about him. Like right now, we're talking about him. He's like, cool, great, awesome.
Imagine being such of a weasel that everywhere you go, everyone's like, yeah, you're a weasel, and they want to spit in your face. That's what it is. Like, imagine how sad that existence must be.
But a lot of people, that's us. But I bet you a lot of people like what he's doing. A lot of people probably agree with what he's doing. A lot of people, friends or whatnot, are probably like, hey, billionaire friends, I mean. Like, he's got it. He rolls with a whole different crowd. Like, his buddy was Vivek. Vivek is cool. Like, oh, yeah, come to Sacramento. They're now tight. And it's
like, you may not believe, I don't know what you believe in overall, but, like, there's a special place in hell for individuals like that. All right? That's what I believe. I believe in karma, and I just think that, like, all the money in the world doesn't make you a good person.
I didn't say he was a good person.
You know? And I get what you're saying. But, like, I'm just a big believer in, like, I want to be able to walk into a room and hold my head high and not have people whispering about how big of a weasel and a snake I am.
Right.
And
but I don't know if everybody feels like that.
You're probably right.
I don't know if everybody, like, he's got a lot of yes men around him. He's a billionaire.
I think once you become a billionaire, it's a lot easier to hold your head up regardless what other people are whispering. Like, if I walk into a room and people start whispering about me, my first thought is, well, I don't care. I got $1 billion, so.
And he's rolling with a different crowd who probably don't even like sports. Who knows?
I mean,
Who knows?
Just a doofus.
Let's go to TC. TC, Sacramento. What's happening?
Vontae, Joe, good morning, bro.
Good morning, TC. Man?
Hey, man, just topic. Hey, listen, so I'm not even really a baseball guy. I don't even really want to get in no Niner or no Kings talk. Joe, I just really want to ask you, right? Bro, you always taking shots at Sac, bro.
How?
How you know that people don't want to come play? Listen, how you know people don't want to come play at Sutter Health?
Because it's that's a minor league. Hear me out. I said it on the front end. It's not about the city of Sacramento. It's an NBA town. It's a beautiful arena. I think Golden 1 Center, in many ways, is better than Chase. I do. I truly believe that. And I love Chase Center. But Sutter Health is a minor league facility that's going to be outdoors where it's 100-plus degrees almost every single day on turf. I play a lot of baseball. I play a lot of softball. That's not good. The stadium itself does not have the current infrastructure needed for a major league team. I am not knocking the city. I am knocking the specific facility and them going to a legitimate minor league facility.
Vivek just made a move, bro, for him to come down. I dig what you're saying, Jack. I just have to ask that question, bro. We got to see how it shake out first. We got to see what the players think about it or whatever, bro. I'm just like, I'm not a big baseball guy. I know you are, Joe, but I have to get on these airways, bro, and ask you that question, bro. Why do you keep doing that? But you explain yourself. You my guy. Bonte, you my guy. Hey, on another note on the Niners, bro, listen, bro, B.A., what John and Kyle are doing, dog, I'm not approving of. I don't know what to say about that situation, dog.
Yeah, I'm on BA side. I just want BA side. I want Tripp to come back, and I want to go win a damn Super Bowl. It's simple. Just get the damn deal done. What are we waiting for?
I mean, a week ago, you guys remember the report in the afternoon? Oh, there's renewed optimism. They've had a long that was a week ago. They had a long talk, Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk. That was Adam Schefter.
It was right after the verbal agreement.
10 days ago, we got the report from Philip Hody.
What gets settled first, the A's stadium situation or Brandon Ayuk's contract? More on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, my psyche's injured from the whole BA talk. It really is. Just get the damn deal done. Let's go.
Look, the minor league facility thing, like, if you just go around baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays have been trying to have a new stadium forever. And they're in Tropicana, which is not great, but it's at least has the amenities needed to house professional teams. All right? There are certain amenities that you do absolutely have to have. And not that the Coliseum is good, because it's currently completely decrepit and outdated. I understand the nostalgia and its importance as a historical venue for sports, specifically baseball, as well as football and all the other things. But you're going to a place that needs millions of dollars of infrastructure just to be of the level that's needed.
I'm very intrigued to see how this works out.
I am too.
I'm very intrigued to see how this works out.
But wouldn't the skeptic say, like, why wouldn't you invest a little bit of that money, you know, into the team or into the facility that you've been at the last few years?
It's a free handout, man.
I know.
It's a free handout for John Fisher.
And Sacramento is a convenient partner, A, because there's been somebody who's bailing them out in Vivek or whatever the partners of Vivek. But the other part is they can keep their television contract, right? And it's just like,
well, that's where
everything's got a little.
I don't want to get too deep into it, but people were like taking shots at NBC.
What are they supposed to
I'm
do?
I'm like, exactly.
What are they supposed to do?
What do you want them
They're
to do?
They're a business.
What do you want them to do? So, Will Clark coming up 8 o'clock. Will the Thrill Clark coming up on the morning roast at 8 o'clock right here. But first, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Christian McCaffrey hasn't been back at practice yet, but he did get an extensive workout on the side field yesterday down at Levi's Stadium. McCaffrey's recovering from a calf strain he suffered earlier in training camp, and the expectation is that he will be rejoining the full practice session soon. He will be ready to roll for week one against the New York Jets. Don't worry about McCaffrey. He will be back. Jason Mitchell, our YouTube, shout out to him. It's like, Bonte, you need a haircut. I'm going to see the barber tomorrow, but I don't know what to do with it. I got to cut it down at some point. And he just says, 10-2 Bonte would know what to do with his hair. That's pretty good material right there, Jason. Shout out to YouTube. Twitter brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate out loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. All right, that was the injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson. Northern California's, where's Hillary at, by the way? Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Will Clark on the roast. That is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.